Okay, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're in the book of James, and I mentioned the book that I wrote well over 30 years ago. I may read a little bit of it this morning. I don't like to do that when I'm preaching, but I may, and it just depends on how the Lord leads. So we're in James. And we're in the latter part of the third chapter. We got into the fourth chapter last time. And I like to back up, and Eric mentioned it this morning because I mentioned it to him when he was apologizing for, going over material. And statistically, in the first 24 hours after you hear something, you can only remember 10%. That's the best. 10% in 24 hours. So, we preach. We're not showing you movies so you have eye input and all this type. You just have the ear input. And so, a 10% retention in 24 hours. So, if you don't build it up, if you don't read it home and things of that sort, then if it isn't supplemented some way, then we have to go back and bring you up to speed. So that's what we're doing this morning. And I thought I'd speak about that percentage I learned in a pedagogy class. How many years ago has that been? A long, long time ago. I graduated in the class of 1960, but I finished my work in the winter of 1959. Okay. So let's turn to the third chapter. And in verse 13, we've been over this before, and it takes us right into the fourth chapter. But we have to remember that this book is a letter. It's called an epistle. Now, when somebody writes you a long letter, and maybe you read part of it, and then something interrupts you, what do you do normally? You go back and kind of pick up the context again and finish the letter, or you sit and read it at one sitting. And, of course, we don't write letters as lengthy as the books in the New Testament, but everything that Paul wrote was an epistle, a letter. Everything that John wrote was except the Gospel of John and the Revelation. But they were letters, epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so James wrote his epistle to the Jews of the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And the prima facie evidence with the Jews being scattered, they were scattered because of unbelief. That was promised back in the Old Testament, both in Deuteronomy, also in Leviticus. If you fail under the law, you're going to eventually, God is going to drive you out of your land. And they were ultimately driven out in 70 A.D., but this was written before that. And there were many Jews that were living in various parts of the Mediterranean world. In fact, after they were in captivity in the Babylonian Empire, and they were carried away into captivity for 70 years. And when they returned, I don't remember the exact number, I'd have to go over to Ezra to get it, or 2 Chronicles, but, it was a small amount of people that returned. I think was, can't remember the number now. I think, let me look real quick at 2 Chronicles or Ezra. I brought it up. I should have looked it up ahead of time, but... Okay, first chapter of Ezra should be there, and verse Okay, let's see if I've got the number here. I can't find it quickly, so we're just wasting time. I'll look it up and let you know. But it was we list them all. Let's see what chapter it is in Ezra, and but with their servants, it wasn't a lot of people. That's the point. I should have looked it up before. And so consequently, most of the Jews, and that's when the Jews became money people. Prior to the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were an agrarian people. They were shepherds. They were farmers, you know. And they were told when they left Egypt and went into the mountainous country of Israel, that they wouldn't be able to farm like they did when they were down on the delta of the Nile River. You know, they farmed with their foot, it says. Well, I grew up in Southern California, and prior to World War II, there were a lot of Japanese truck farmers. And they would plow their fields, and then they would have rows, and they would plant the crop in the rows. And then to irrigate, they would use it looks like a big piece of tin with a handle on it. And they could throw that down and start at one end of the row and start the water in there. And then it would run down the entire row. And then you have another piece of metal to push it to the next row. And beyond that, another piece of metal to keep it from going from to the third row and at both ends. So you would kick those up with your foot. That's what it meant to irrigate with your foot. They had to be dependent upon God's early rains and God's latter rains. You know. And so we have Feast of the Jews that are associated with the early rains. Passover and so forth in the spring of the year. And then the latter rains are the rains that bring forth the harvest, and that's in the latter part of the year or about 7 months later. Okay. And so those are the things that we read about. Now, James, the Jews were told that if they didn't keep the law, they would be scattered in the Gentile nations of the world, and they were. And in the first chapter, we've learned that James wrote to the 12 tribes, what? Scattered abroad. Now, the prima facie evidence for being scattered is that if you keep my commandments, and I'll keep you in the land, I'll bless you, I'll do this, I'll do that. But if you don't, I'll send you into the Gentile nations of the world. So the Jews were in Babylonian captivity. The northern tribes, that's the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. But prior to that, they were in the Assyrian captivity. That's the northern 10 tribes. And so from the time of Daniel's writing, there were to be 4 Gentile world empires. And we have to recognize that from 70 A.D., when the nation of Israel was destroyed as a nation, the temple was destroyed, and the Jews were carried into captivity by the Romans, either that or they died in the city. There were a few Jews that remained in the land, but very few. And so they were carried into captivity. Now, prophetically, when we're talking about these things, we only talk about the nation of Israel when they're in the land. Now, they were returned to the land according to the book of Hosea. I think it's the 6th chapter, latter part of the 5th, somewhere along in there. And it says towards the hinder part, that's the proper translation. It actually is translated, at the end of 2 days, I'll raise you up. But it's at the hinder part of 2 days. Then we connect that with what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3. He wrote there that a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Now, when we apply that to the book of Hosea, toward the hinder part of 2 days, I'll raise you up. Well, they went into captivity in 70 A.D., and they were raised up and became a nation again May 14, 1948. And at that time, the Jews or the Arabs. And isn't it interesting when we talk about anti-Semitism, nobody ever talks about Arabs? Arabs are Semites just like Jews. You know, but the Arabs all come from Abraham's first son, Ishmael. You know, and then it's in Isaac that thy seed shall be called. So then we pass through time. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ come, and we were talking about this Wednesday night. On the fourth day, did we see appear in the skies? Prior to that, they couldn't see the stars. They couldn't see, And so he talks about the greater light to rule the day as the sun. And Christ is spoken of as the Son of Righteousness, you know. And then during the night, well, the whole world is plunged into darkness. And the original creation of the earth, it was plunged into darkness too. See? So then on the fourth day, so when do we get the greatest light? Well, if we go 4,000 years from Adam, we come to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? So, and then when was he crucified? He was crucified on the 14th day of the month, and placed in the tomb at the beginning of the 15th day of the month, which is called Passover. So the Passover lamb, and Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. The Passover lamb was sacrificed on the 14th day of the month. Now the translators refer to the 14th, just like the Jews did, you know, and they're translating what Jews wrote. You combine the sacrifice of the lamb on the 14th and the eating of the lamb on the 15th. But we operate on a Roman clock or a Roman calendar. And our days are from what? Midnight until midnight. But the Jews' days are from sunset to sunset. So each day had a beginning and an ending sunset. Okay? And so then when we apply that, as we've been teaching on Wednesday night, we apply that to the fourth day. Then we can see the moon. And on the 14th day of the month, that's a full moon. The greatest light concerning how that people are going to come to Christ was revealed to the Jews on what day of the month? The 14th day of the month of what? Millennium? The fourth millennium from Adam. Okay. So, the original creation, that could have been billions of years ago, just like the people say. But then we go to a recreation. And so, we have the recreation in 6 days. And during those 6 days, we see various things. So, as new believers in Jesus Christ, how much did you know when you were first saved? About that much. All you knew is that Christ died for you. So, on the first day, God made it possible to see a difference between an expanse above, a firmament as it's translated, and an expanse below. He separated the waters from the waters. So below it was seas. You know. And so the seas represent the Gentile nations of the world, you know, or the world as a whole. So now when we get into this book of James and talking about the world, he says, who's a wise man and endued with knowledge? Now we learn from the book of Proverbs that Solomon used the word wisdom to speak of salvation. And we won't take the time to go back to the third chapter, but you know, you can read it. Just read the entire third proverb. Okay. And he says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, meekness is humility. And was it possible for the Jews of the diaspora, because the Jews were the custodians of the truth for, 1,500 years. Well, is it possible that some of them could have actually been saved, even though the nation as a whole was scattered? Sure. And James has to allow for that. But for the most part, he's writing to unsaved Jews. So he says to them, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good manner of life. That's what conversation means. His works with meekness or humility of wisdom. We're not saved. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? Not even one. So those of us that are saved, we have to be pretty humble. Show some humility with respect to the fact that we're saved. We're not saved because we're better than anybody, because there's no one that's good. The only person who ever dwelt in a human body that was good is God in the person of Jesus Christ. And everybody else has Adam's blood flowing through their veins, so they have, because the scripture says over in Acts, the 17th chapter, when Paul was speaking on Mars Hill, he says, I've lost my train of thought, but, God is made of one blood. That's the point I was trying to make. Of one blood, all the families of the earth. So in the day in which we live, and basically the Democrats are trying to divide this country. And they want to be a socialistic or communistic country. That's what they want to be. And we can see, in these debates, everybody on the stage, they're all way to the left of our Constitution. Okay. Well, we can put the Jews that James is writing to way to the left of the Word of God. They believe like the world believed. So that's why we make political comparisons. Are Republicans any better than Democrats? Not really, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But we have more Republicans at the present time that want to continue to operate according to our Constitution. And that's like us as a church. This is why we make these kind of comparisons. As a church, it's very difficult to go anywhere and find the gospel being preached and messages like Eric preaches and like I preach, where we go through a book at a time, rather than most messages are topical messages or textual messages. Topical message will be on a particular topic. A textual message will be to preach the whole message on one verse of Scripture. And I like to work crossword puzzles, and they're always asking for a three-letter word for a sermon topic, and they want sin. We say very little about sin. The only thing we say about sin, we talk more about the sin, or the sin of Adam, because it was in Adam that we all die. And why did he die? Because Eve was deceived in eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam was wise enough to know that unless he also ate of the tree, that he would be separated from Eve forever. So Adam, or Eve, is a type of the church, and Adam is a type of Christ, according to the 5th chapter of Romans. And all through the Old Testament scriptures, everything that we have written in the New Testament is contained in the Old Testament in mystery form. And so that's why we make these kind of comparisons. During the 1,500 years from the time that the Jews came out of Egypt, until they were destroyed in 70 AD, and actually the church was established right after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he was about 33, and he was born about 5 or 6 B.C. You know, we talk about the Gregorian calendar. Pope Gregory wanted to have a calendar that all of the nations of the earth would use the same calendar. And but in his calculations, he made an error. And so he wanted the date from the birth of Christ. Well, Christ wasn't born, in 1 A.D. Christ was born in probably 5 or 6 B.C. Okay? And you figure that out by biblical chronology, which is a very, very exacting study. And at times very complex, because you can go forward in time, so-and-so lived so many years and he died, and so many years and he died, and so many years and he died, and he has sons and daughters, and then we go to the lineage, and so on, so lived so many years and he died. But then there's times that we have to go on and count backwards to continue the chronology. Okay. So most of the dates in your Bible are in error by about, sometimes they're pretty close in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament they're off by quite a bit, you know. And it's because they used Usher's chronology, and Usher was operating on the basis of the Gregorian calendar, and so we have those errors. Now, let's come back to this. So he says to these Jews, who's a wise and endued wise man among you, or a saved man among you with knowledge of the truth of the Word of God? Let him show out of a good manner of life his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Jews were any better than we were. But they said, when Moses gave them the opportunity to be under the law, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. But then, right after the giving of the Ten Commandments, they say, let not God speak with us anymore. Terrorize them. You know. And so then Moses talks about them, well, yeah, if you fail before the law, make an altar of earth. This was before the establishment of the high priestly system. Okay? And it was kind of going to back to the heads of households were the priests for the household up until that point in time. That's why we see both Cain and Abel making a sacrifice. You know? So Cain, he's steeped in the lie of the devil. He thinks he can be justified before God by the life that he lives. So he gives God a gift of the things that he's grown. But God had showed Adam and Eve in the judgment of the serpent that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. So when he did that, Adam believed that's promise. And that's why he called his wife life giver. The seed of the woman. He attributed it to Eve because she was the only woman on the earth. Okay. But it's not that Eve is going to be the life giver. It was Mary that gives the birth of Christ, who is God incarnate, God with us. Okay. The Old and the New Testament merge and fuse right together. And, you know, for 2,500 years of history, we had the heads of family that acted as priests. Then for the next 1,500 years under the law, it had to be an Aaronic priest. You know, Aaron was the high priest, and the Levites, all of the work of the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple in Jerusalem, all of that had to be done by people from the tribe of Levi, and the high priestly work from the tribe of Levi and through the lineage of Aaron. And when we see that, we see, you know, that God is going to bring it down to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to make one sacrifice for sin forever. That's going to take care of all of the sins all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And those people, when they died, didn't go to heaven. They went into a place called paradise. And so they were kept there till Christ did what? He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What did he say to the thief on the cross? And if you read that story about the thief on the cross, he was a believer, but he was a thief. You know, so how good are we? You know, and he said to the Lord, when the other thief was railing on him, if you really are the, you know, who everybody, you're being crucified for being the Christ, if you really are the Christ, save us and you. You know, he was just looking out for his own skin. But the other thief said, Lord, and he used the word Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. See? He knew that Christ was going to establish his kingdom upon the earth, you know, but it wasn't established in the first century like the Jews thought it was going to be. You know, all of the disciples, wilt thou at this time, in the first chapter of Acts, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? No. Now we have to go through the church age. And then Israel has to become a nation again, and she has. But Israel isn't counted as, you know, it's after 2 days that God raised her up, but the kingdom isn't going to start until after we are taken out of this world. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then we're going to come after 7 years, after the reign of the Antichrist, and everyone that believes during that period of time will believe when the 144,000 who were raised with Christ after Christ was raised. And so when he went into heaven in the clouds were the saints, okay, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is white. Okay. And so he ascended into the clouds, and he raised them with him. So they've been there all these years being trained to come back to preach on the earth, and the Antichrist would desire to kill them, but he can't kill them because death is an appointment. And it's appointed on the man how many times to die? Once to die. So they won't be able to kill them. But the two that were raised over in what is it, the 12th or 13th chapter, somewhere along there, I think it's 13th chapter. Oh, no, it's the 11th chapter of the Revelation. There are two witnesses, Enoch and Elijah. Why? Because Enoch and Elijah were translated into heaven. They never died. But it's appointed on the man what? Once to die. So Enoch and Elijah have to come back and die, and they die, and their bodies are going to lay in the streets for 3.5 days, and the whole world's going to rejoice. Yeah. You think, you know, this is again during the reign of the Antichrist, and in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said to the disciples, ye shall not be gone over the cities of Jerusalem till the Son of Man be come. Did that happen in the first advent? No, that's going to happen during the Great Tribulation period. So that was both historical and prophetical. So coming back to this, he says, okay, there's those among you who think that you have a right relationship with the Lord. You know? So if you do, out of a good manner of life, show forth your works with meekness or humility that goes with salvation. See, that's in verse 13. But then talking to these Jews, because most of them were lost, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. See, the Jews were all caught up in tradition. And these Jews that were scattered abroad were still caught up in tradition. And they worshiped the false gods of the world, but they ascribed the name of Jehovah or Elohim to the false gods of the world. They were, you know, they knew that there was one God, and his name, you know, Jehovah Elohim, you know. El is the singular. Elohim is plural. And God is plural. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay. And so that's why we have that name. And Jehovah basically is the name that we get Joshua from. It's the name we get Yeshua from. It's the name that we get translated transliterated into Greek, Esaus from. Esaus transliterated into English is Jesus. Okay. So, so was it possible for these Jews scattered abroad? Many of them thought they were okay with the Lord. But then James is showing them, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Well, who is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay. So, what are you lying about the truth for? Okay. Because they rejected Jesus as the Christ. Now, he says, this wisdom, that is, what you consider to be a right relationship with God, it didn't descend from heaven. Let me read it as it's translated. This was descended not from heaven, but it's earthly. I guess I didn't push the button on my timer. I'll watch it. We started a little bit late. Okay. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it's earthly. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It's sensual. The way the Jews worshipped, they worshipped like the pagans of the world. And all of the pagan religions worshipped with sexual immorality. Great big Woodstock. Okay? Sensual, demonic. Now, there's one devil. But there are many demons, and the demons came from those children that were born to the women on the earth in the days of the flood. And you go over to the book of Jude, you can see that. They kept not their first estate. They came down and cohabited with the daughters of men. Let's read that from Jude. So many people are confused about this. And you see people doing backflips to justify it, But he says, let's see. Verse 5 of Jude, just one chapter long. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that was back in the days of Moses, afterward destroyed them that believed not. There were many Jews that died in the wilderness, and their children, when they went into the land under Joshua, they basically destroyed, they were supposed to destroy the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Save nobody alive. And as long as Joshua was alive, they pretty much did that. But after that, they quit doing it, and they intermarried with the Gentile nations of the world and began to worship their gods and call them by the name of Elohim or El or Jehovah, whatever. So he says, and perished in their gainsaying of Korah. Korah tried to overthrow Moses and Aaron and choose up a bunch of people and go back to Egypt because they thought it was better in Egypt, which in the scriptures is a type of the world. These are spots in your feast of love. Word agape, charity. The translators translated agape, charity, because they wanted to have something, what is charity? It's kind of caring for the poor and the people that can't care for themselves. Now, charity, agape, is the love of Christ. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. That's agape. But when you read it translated charity, it completely screws up your mind. Okay? So these are spots in your feast of love, or agape. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Now he's talking about these people who run after the error of Balaam. And again, saying of Korah, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water. You know, clouds are supposed to bring life to the earth. That's why when Jesus is caught up in the clouds, it's the believers of the Old Testament era that he took their bodies into heaven, or not all of them, but 144,000. And then when he comes with all of his saints, he's going to come in the clouds. And how is fresh water brought to the earth? By clouds, you know, through the process of, the sun heats the seas. And the vapor rises and forms clouds, and those clouds are moved by the winds which speak of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit causes the clouds to go over the earth and rain upon the earth to produce a crop on the earth and fresh water. Who is the water of life? The Lord Jesus Christ. So all these natural things that we read about in Scripture speak of spiritual things. See? And so he says, they pretend to be believers, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, you know. And, they don't really have the water of life or the gospel, you know. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead. That is, they've died physically and spiritually, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their... I'm reading... I should have started earlier here in Jude and missed a portion of Scripture. But this is important. And raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, let's go back and start at verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, so you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not, and the angels. See, there were certain angels that came down during the days of Noah, and when it's translated in Genesis, the earth was only evil continually. It's the evil. Their minds were fixated on man's morality, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which promises life but brings death. You know, that's what it had to be fixated on, because where there's no law, there's no transgression. And the only law at that point in time in the days of Noah was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the only two people that could do that were Adam and Eve, and then they were expelled from the garden and God set up cherubim to prevent anybody else from entering the garden. So what was the evil that was upon the earth in the days of the flood? Yeah. Where there's no law, there's no transgression, and God gave one law at that point in time, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but the inhabitants of the earth couldn't eat of it, but they could bear its fruit. Because as an Adam all die, it was passed on through the blood of Adam. Okay. So he says of them, and the angels which kept not their first estate, verse 6, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Now what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, and believe me, you can have your LGBTQ movements all you want. Nobody's going to stop it. And it's not our business as a church to try to stop it. It's to try to save people that are dead in trespasses and sin. We're to preach the gospel. And you know, man thinks one sin's worse than another, but we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is, we all sinned with Adam, and that's the sin that brings death. That's why in Romans 6:23 it says, I can't get it started all of a sudden. I shouldn't have given its reference, and I've been okay. Okay. It says, for the wages of sin. The translators failed to translate a definite article. We don't die because we sin. We die because Adam and Eve sinned. So it's sin in the singular preceded by a definite article in the Greek text, which means, for the wages of thee sin is death. What did God promise? The day thou eatest thereof, what? Dying thou shalt die. Or thou shalt surely die is the way it's translated. Yeah. And become servants of God, the wages of thee sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So over in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, as in Adam all die, what? You know, those people for 2,500 years couldn't commit any sin. They couldn't even commit the sin that Adam sinned, because where there's no law, there's no transgression. And they didn't have access to the Garden of Eden. But their mind was fixated on their knowledge of good and evil, which is the lie of the devil. You know? And so that was what was on the earth. Their mind was fixed on, you know, we can be like God. And so when these angels come down, the women all thought that they were going to bring the Christ into the world by having committed fornication with angels. That's what Jude's telling us. But all the great minds under the canopy of Christianity reject that concept. Okay? So it says, but then we have a comparative. What's the word even there for in verse 7? Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know that the two daughters of Lot were married? But they were virgins. Why? Because their husbands didn't have sex with their wives. They had sex with other men. Okay? But they had wives. Well, we need somebody to clean the house. We need somebody to cook the meals. We need, you know, they were all male chauvinists, you know. And they got their sexual pleasure, men with men and women with women. Okay. Now, that doesn't make that sin any greater than any other sin. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay. Okay. So even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner as what? As the angels that kept not their first estate. See? Angels in the Scripture, you'll never find a female angel in the Scriptures. See? Angels are always in the masculine gender. See? So, you know, TV, the movies, and so forth, angels are always beautiful women. But there are no female angels. All angels are in the masculine gender, and whenever they manifested to man in human bodies, they always manifested themselves in male bodies. I'm sorry, feminist movement. You're not angels. But these angels kept not their first estate, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after what? Strange flesh. Angels in heaven don't have sexual relationships because there's no female angels. So the strange flesh, what? Were the women on the earth. And they produced, but it's like an ass, you know? Mules. If you want a mule, you have to take a female horse and a male ass and breed them, and you get a mule. But you can't breed mules because they're all sterile. You know, most hybrids are. Okay, the way you get other hybrids is by, in the plant world is by, you know, man manipulating. See? Okay. So he says, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, now we're coming to the church age, also these filthy dreamers. And Jude is writing about people that don't want to settle down completely on there's one sacrifice for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. They despise dominions, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, they disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, what? Where do we get our authority? Yeah, I can't rebuke anybody because I'm as much a sinner as anybody else in this congregation. See, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But if we do something contrary to what we're supposed to preach, we're supposed to preach the grace of God, salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. See, so when we go back to, you know, to what these Jews were, what James was writing to unsaved Jews. I'll bring this to a close now, and we'll get into the fourth chapter next time. So what you call salvation descendeth not from above, you know, the salvation that you have, which are by the works of the hands, by the traditions of the elders, it descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above, or the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ, is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Peace with whom? Not world peace. Peace with God. And we have peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we pray that you'll continue to teach us as we go over scriptures that we've written about, scriptures that we've read hundreds of times, and yet you show us truth that we haven't seen before. For some and others, you build us up in truth that we have seen but not expounded on for many years. And so bless in a very special way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.